You mean to tell me that somebody that has failed 25 times and just keeps coming back the same old way, if I will bind with them that I'll get stronger? They're going to pull me down, preacher. Let me remind you that the greatest miracles that you ever saw in the Bible was when God helped people that were in dire straits. There was never any time where everybody had everything perfect and God just came and put the cherry on top. There were people that were in desperate need, people that needed a mighty move of God. How many of you know of somebody that needs a mighty move of God out there? I don't know about you, but I get calls and texts and word of mouth. I hear all these people that stand in need, but where are our shields of faith? Where are our prayers to believe that God is moving for them? Oftentimes we're too busy or don't want our personal space, our bubble, to get invaded. Because the one thing that we as mankind are afraid of most is change. If we can get to a place where we're satisfied, then we're not willing to adapt to the new challenges that come. If we're not willing to adapt to new challenges, we'll fail in the same thing until we're willing to overcome. We preach this Friday, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Even Jesus acknowledged that the challenges before him were greater than he was as a man. But the spirit that was quickened within him spoke up in the middle of the challenge and said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If you will learn to understand who you are in God and take a stand for who you are by your faith, then that moment, it will come when you'll take the word of God and you will lash out at the devil. When is the last time, church, that you have sincerely taken authority over the devil? I'm talking, believed what you were saying, stood up and boldly said, devil, get thee hence. When's the last time that you can remember that you sincerely got down in prayer? Somebody hear me tonight. When's the last time that you got down in prayer and asked God to take authority over the hand of Satan? When is the last time that we put up the shield of faith that kept somebody from being their last day or their last chance or the last opportunity? I would not be here if somebody had not put a shield over me and said, you will not take him. I would not be here if somebody didn't lay it out before me and say, you're not taking this life. It takes being a family together and learning that we've got to do it with one another, that we can help each other to a greater victory. Verse 21 represents the voice of mankind having a bit of confusion over the understanding of what Jesus gave. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Verse 22, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Unity will not come without the ability to forgive yourself and to forgive others. Unity cannot come in your life. Have you ever been in a service where everybody came together but you? And you wondered what was up? Felt like you missed it. Felt like you walked in the wrong church. Have you ever been there? And then you look within yourself and you go away unsatisfied. You're sort of upset and wondering what you did wrong or what it is that you maybe missed. Chances are, and it's not all cases, but it's very likely that somewhere, whether it's through you or through something someone's done, that there is some forgiveness that needs to happen. I'm going to bring something out to you tonight. You write it down, take a note of this. Forgiveness is the root of unity. Being able to forgive one another will bring a greater unity. If I did not tell my wife I was sorry sometimes,
I'd be on a curb somewhere in the folly, for she would have already kicked me to it.
It must be the only one.
It's okay. It's okay. I'll take one for the team. I'll do it. If I didn't admit sometimes that I was wrong, especially to God, that's the most important. If you will just be willing to say, after you've done everything you can and made the biggest gom of it, as we say, Derek, God, I'm wrong and I'm sorry. Forgiveness is the root of unity. For when you know that you're forgiven and you forgive the others that have hurt you, love is the byproduct of forgiveness. Love comes when forgiveness is done. You didn't know the love of God until you submitted and yielded unto salvation. When you realized that your sins were forgiven, what was one of the first things you felt when you got up from there? The love of God. You felt His love all around you. You begin to know that there was a greater family around you than even the few that you've got in your own fleshly bloodline. Forgiveness is the root of unity. If we want to be a church that's together, we've got to be willing to forgive ourselves first of all. So what? You disobeyed God last week. Forgive yourself. Repent from these things. Don't stay in last week. We need you tonight. Don't live a month ago. We need you next Friday. We need you at Sunday school. We need you going out into the hedges and the highways and compelling people to come. There is a work for you, but there must be forgiveness in your heart. Humbleness is a byproduct of love. If you cannot learn to forgive, then you cannot give love to people. If you can't love your brethren, that is the evidence of the absence of the Spirit of God. For to have the Spirit of God is to have the ability to love your neighbor as yourself. So when you are holding a grudge, you are keeping yourself from the true unity of the Spirit of God. When you get upset with somebody and won't let it go, and I'm just as guilty. Don't think that for a second that I'm not susceptible to what I'm talking about. There's been plenty of times that somebody has hurt me, and I'm just as human as you are, and I have an opinion just like you, and it's just as harsh as yours, despite what you might think. There's plenty of times that I wanted just to lash out at the things. I just wanted to stand up in the wrong kind of way, but the love was not there, and humbleness was not in my heart, and anybody that has ever done this will understand what I'm talking about. When you do something that is out of your character, they call it irrational. When you do something that is not who you really are, and you say something that's not really you, you're doing something that is irrational. It rebels against the character of the good qualities that make you who you are. Your hair color doesn't make you who you are. The makeup you put on your face doesn't tell you who you are. How old that you're getting, and the wrinkles that are coming up out of nowhere, and the gray hairs here, and the hairs on your ears, hairs on your back, hairs everywhere, do not define who you are. There is no byproduct that comes from how old we're getting that tells me how much I can love people. There is no backache that tells me that I'm going to love you more. There's something more spiritual about this than we're letting ourselves get a hold of. I'm telling you, if you will truly let God have every grudge, you'll be a Christian like we really want Christians to be, and not what Christians have become. I'm not going to say I'm hating on this, but I want you to understand where I'm coming from. You can go to a church that's big enough that you can go sit and hide, where nobody will get in your bubble, where nobody will invade your space. You may even like it when people don't say hi to you. You may even like it when nobody even comes by and greets you. You just want to go sit in there and feel like that you're getting something done by sitting in the midst of a church. There are plenty of people. I work with people. They tell me they play Bible verses as they go to bed, but then they tell me that they go out drinking the next day. And it makes you wonder to yourself, what is inside of them that causes them to be godly? But I'm telling you, I find that when I examine people around me, that the love that they should have for me is not present. And when that love is not present, I realize that they do not have what they need in their heart to be truly forgiven. For if they were truly forgiven, the things that used to hinder them would no longer, and they would be remitted from their past. But we live in a world, and we live in churches that want privacy. They don't want you to mess with them. They want their space. And if you preach anything that concerns what they're going through, and you step on their toes too hard, then they'll quit your church. They'll quit tithing your church, and they won't have anything to do with you anymore. Pass them at Walmart, they won't even look at you. Come on, I'm not going to, if you see me at Walmart, don't run away from me. I'm just going to wave and say hi. I'm not going to bombard you and drain the life out of you. I'm not, that's not the kind of person I am. If you want your space, I'll wave and say hi and go on about your way. Because it's not me that you even have to worry about. Just say hi to me and let God have your problems. You don't have to run from anybody. We are a family. We are supposed to be together. We are supposed to defend each other. Because let me tell you, when you go to big churches where you can hide and just exist, you find no substance of what really makes you a loving Christian. And the first thing that goes wrong, the attendance drops by half, the pastor has to quit, all the staff is fired, and they have to rebuild from something that could have been remedied by forgiveness. It's pretty safe to say that just about all of the 100 plus churches we have in this town, I would like to say they were all founded because they felt led to build it. But I'm going to be real with you. Somebody get their honesty box out and catch this. Most of them were probably built because they got mad at somebody else and wanted their own church to do it their own way. And we could have churches that were filled up with the real thing, but we're not willing to work through the forgiveness that Jesus tried to teach. Jesus didn't come that you would have a great anointing and great gifts and talents. I find it no secret that he came that we would be forgiven. He didn't die so we could be rich in this life. Of course it's God's will that we be prosperous. But he didn't send Jesus to fulfill this purpose. He sent him that we would be forgiven. And if you believe upon him, so you are. And if you are forgiven, then you have a greater love for people. When the love of God is absent from your spirit, then it is time to seek him through repentance. Repentance is the gateway to forgiveness. You must repent if you're in the wrong. How many of you, when you feel like you're right, don't feel like you've got to justify anything to anybody? It's just, I'm right. I know I'm right. Get out of my way. I'm going to take my right stick and I'm going on. I'm going to walk around in my right robe and my right mind and my right shoes and my right pants, and you're just going to know that I'm right and you're wrong. How many of you have seen preachers walk this way? It's a scary thought. But that's why the Bible instructs to not be carried away by every wind of doctrine. Because in the last days, there will be people that come and tell you that I am the Christ. They will tell you that they're Christian. But the things that they do in their personal life doesn't add up to the person they should be in Christ. So there are more Christians that are getting pulled down in parties by other Christians than there are even people in the world that are trying to pull it away. There are pastors, they have shows about this. There's pastors' kids that are getting high and getting drunk. There's Christians that feel like this lifestyle can coincide with a living for God. But with forgiveness, destroys the compromise that we used to have to think that we can still do the things we used to do. It shatters compromise. And if you ever are standing for the truth of God's word, you will not compromise. When the devil tries to come against you, you will not compromise. He might try to persuade you out of your mind and make you lose it, but you won't compromise. The word of God says to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Let's read verse 35. Read the rest of this chapter when you go home, starting at 18 through. I want you to do some homework and read this and gain strength from it. But read the last verse of chapter 18 in Matthew with me. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. The key to unity in churches is our willingness to see each other as forgiven. If I do not see you as forgiven, and I don't treat you as redeemed, and I judge your life, then I will not fellowship with you in the fellowship of the Spirit of God. I won't praise God with you. I'll look at your faults and say, I'm glad I'm not there. We'll use people with problems as our punching bag when we preach and just feel like that you're just never coming out of this. But I don't believe that. I believe we're coming out of this. Just like I opened up with tonight, church, we're coming out of this. But you've got to learn to not only defend yourself through repentance and forgiveness, that faith will come alive in you, but when you start defending yourself, that your confidence will be strong enough to finally take your first swing. There are some in here that have never picked up their fist and grabbed that sword and swung it against the devil. There are some of you that need to have a breakthrough in this revelation. There are some of you that need to learn how to fight spiritual warfare. You must learn that spiritual warfare is not fought by speaking in other tongues. You must learn that your weapon of warfare against Satan and his devices is the Word of God. Everybody has access to this Word, and as the Spirit will quicken you, you will use the part of the Word that will cause the devil to realize his place in your life. Where is that? Under your feet. Not even a part of you. Dust of the earth. You are above this thing. You are not beneath Satan. You are above him. It is perspective. How you will see yourself is where you will find yourself sitting. If you know that you're forgiven, and you know that he cannot touch your soul, then you're going to have a greater confidence to have faith to know that you will win if you start scrapping for your life. Now, I don't have everything that my heart's desire, but I don't let that keep me from fighting. If I didn't learn to fight a long time ago, I would have quit. I would have quit the ministry. I would have quit singing. I would have quit writing. I would have quit everything. I would have just let it go to the side and found no purpose and felt void in my commitment through all that time. But it's not void. It's not in, the Bible says it's not in vain. That's the word it says. You've got to run that are keeping you from being in unity with others. The eyes to see each other as likewise as one another. Amen. We are the same in Christ. There is not one greater than another. No. We are all the same in him. And if we realize just that unity and that family bond that we have as being children of God, then we would never feel afraid. If you're sitting at the dinner table with somebody that's family, you're not afraid to tell them to pass you a piece of the pie. You won't feel like that you're being a bother to them for them to cut you a slice. It won't bother you to ask somebody for help that's your family. And it shouldn't be that way in the church of God. We should not feel inferior to one another. We should not feel intimidated to one another. I want to tell you that we need to burst our bubbles and open up our eyes and realize that there is none greater than the other, that we're all walking through the same trials. We're all walking through the same struggles. And if we would learn to have this common purpose of knowing the God we serve and where we're going, then we could come in here and have a good time and stop looking at one another for somebody to do something and get on board and start fighting for our own self. We wouldn't be waiting on me to come in here and to do anything to cause something to happen or a pastor to cause something to happen. You wouldn't depend your spiritual life on somebody. I'm here to tell you, you better not be waiting on anybody to cause you to get up to fight, because one day that somebody's not going to be there and the devil's going to get a full knockout swing. And I'm going to ask you, where will your shield be when you need God to be there the greatest? If you are wise and you put in your heart what God tells you, just like he's speaking, this is a word from God. If I have ever told anybody anything, if you will learn to walk by faith, isn't that amazing? We are to learn to walk by our defense. Paul, even being tried wrongfully for spreading the gospel, didn't give regard to the accusation. He used it as his greatest opportunity to minister to people. He was talking about his greatest testimonies, what he had been brought out of. Came from being a murderer to being a minister. Oh man, we can't trust murderers with our children. But we give Paul so much reverence for what he has done. That should tell you that the faults of people do not define them. They are defined by their forgiveness and their willingness to submit unto God through repentance. If you're not repenting in your weekly life, then you're missing out on blessings. You don't have to repent because they give an altar call. You don't have to repent because I'm telling you to do it. You repent because it is the natural instinct to quell the fiery darts of Satan. You're not doing it for me. You're not just doing it because they told you in Sunday school to do it. You're doing it because you're fighting for your life. Be willing to admit you're wrong. Lower your pride. Lower your standards of what you desire in this world, and all of a sudden, something amazing begins to happen. You begin to be satisfied, or the Bible says, to be ye content with such as you have. And all that money you thought you were needing to go get, it's not as important to you anymore. And all those times that you were needing somebody to give you a word from the Lord, all of a sudden you're able to perform some self-service. My Lord. You're able to get into the Word of God and use it as a weapon against Satan. I'm here to tell you, Satan has many faces. and it's coming in many forms, Michelle. He is working through devices and snares that will appeal to our vulnerabilities. And he uses those as temptations to ensnare us out of the forgiveness that God has gave us through Jesus. So remember this in closing. Forgiveness is the root of unity. Love comes from your forgiveness. And humbleness comes from love. If you walk in humbleness, you will have no pride. And you will learn to be satisfied even in a trial. That is the mystery of rejoicing in your tribulation. For when you begin by faith, it will cause you to rejoice, even in the absence of the substance of what you see. It does not define you for what you have or what you lack. It does not define you. What defines you is that you know, that you know, that you know, that you are forgiven. How many of you know that tonight? Let's give God a hand clap of praise.